The Half-Guarded Hour is recorded before a live studio audience. So, fuck it. It started now, everybody. Welcome to the Half-Guarded Hour here at halfguarded.com. I'm Mike Coughlin, and on the line we have our most special guest, someone who if you don't know him well, fuck off. It's Gavin McGinnis. Gavin, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Like yourself, I'm trying to avoid doing things on a Sunday here. Mostly my continuing legal education, which I'm supposed to watch all these videos, so I just put them on mute and leave them in the background. So, yeah.
Right.
I'm just packing
all this bric-a-brac.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting seeing it all. Like, I've got this roll of toilet paper of Luke Wilson called The Saddest Wilson. And it was Johnny Knoxville thought it was a funny gag for a while. He made toilet paper and he made a big neon sign that said The Saddest Wilson. And then Owen Wilson tried to kill himself. or maybe it was Luke. I can't remember. And so all of a sudden the joke wasn't funny anymore. And what to me is just a random toilet paper roll of Luke Wilson looking sad is now a piece of gold. It's sort of like the poster I have framed here. I want it playing bingo, and it has it's from Maker's Mark, from Rob Samuels to Max Fish. It says, hey, thanks for being the first on the block to sell Makers. And then, then 9/11 happened. It's the World Trade Center dipped into wax like Makers bottles. So in 2000, when I got it, it was just some boring, stupid promo gift. And now, God damn it, it's a piece of gold.
I think we've got a theme now for this show. I was going to just ask questions about politics and punk shit and all that, but let's just go through your history of your house. It sounds like we got like a Antiques Roadshow version of history.
Well, I'm looking at a gollywog right now. Do you know what those are?
It sounds like it's Scottish, so I have no idea.
It is. It's like a really racist kind of a Scottish toy. Crumpling papers and practice boxes. And he's got a big sort of blackface face, and he's got striped pants on. And the Scots saw blacks as a fun novelty. So these, as a kid, they would sell these, and they're still really around. And it's what in America would be considered wildly racist, and there it's just endearing.
Yeah, it sounds like, what do they call it, the lawn jockeys or whatever that...
Exactly, yeah, but this was a kid's toy with a bow tie and striped pants who's cute as a button.
Well, I guess they don't have a lot of black people in Scotland, so...
They do not. I met one once.
Really?
Her dad was African, yeah. Huh. She was born there, big, thick Norwegian accent, only one I've ever met. But, yeah, I guess all three of those are things that are seemingly dull, but all of a sudden fascinating when put into context.
Well, especially nowadays, I mean, I guess England and by association Scotland is all just a bunch of giant racists from what I've been reading, because they hate Polish people, and I don't really know. Like, I've never seen Polish people be the discriminated minority, and because I live in Chicago, we have the second most Polish people behind Krakow or whatever it is, but I don't know, like... I never saw it, like Mexican, sure, black people, yeah, but Polish people? Like, where the fuck did that come from?
They took over. I mean, go to a hotel in London and it'll be all these packing things. It'll be 100% Polacks. But they're not bad. They assimilate. I don't think there's a lot of anger towards them. They're just a pretty good example of the troubles with immigration in Britain right now. But the real problem is the Muslims, and that was Tony Blair and his speechwriter purposely going out and saying, we're going to screw the the blue collars, because we think of them as racist. We're just going to antagonize them with as many Muslims as possible. And that's out. I mean, I can send you the link. That's not a crazy conspiracy theory. It's a fact. And I think that's going to sow the seeds of animosity, and they're going to say, screw you, eventually, and close the border. You know, you have entire villages in Britain that are fifth columns, that are totally separate from England. And these places like Luton, or Tommy Robinson can't walk down the street are way more Muslim than they are British. And that starts chipping away at your whole soul as a nation. Like, for example, pubs are dying over there. Now, the thing about pubs in Britain is they really are the lifeline of the community. And I remember, you know, as an American, you'll go to a British pub and you'll just see some 18-year-old punk guy with a blue mohawk talking to an old man with a little working-class tweed hat. And that's, you know, that's his therapy. And he's known, that's his grandfather, and he's known, you know, sorry, his grandfather's friend, he's known his whole life. That guy's giving him all this advice. It's helping him fix his life. Like, he'll walk by and you'll hear him just going, I don't know, really. I mean, I love her, but I don't think she loves me back. And then the old geezer is like, you got to just hang out. You got to wait. So your problem is you respond more than she responds to you. So you've shifted the power balance. You've got to just take a step back, mate. Just take a step back. So, you know, when that's dead, then there's less community, and it snowballs. And I think the Brits have finally realized that, and they're saying, enough is enough. We're fighting back.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even just Britain. I mean, for generations at least, I know the banlieue outside of Paris have always just been disconnected, and they're just increasingly being overrun with legitimate extremists. And to give the benefit of the doubt and say that there are moderate Muslims, it's a weird deal where they don't want to assimilate. And I've never understood that. I've never understood the idea that somebody wants to go to a country and then not be a part of that country. Like, why the hell are you going to England if you don't want to be English?
Because it's an invasion. You're going there to replace them. They're very vocal about that. They say that you're not having kids. We're having kids. We're going to take over. And they're right. So the reason they go in there and they don't assume they don't like the culture is because their religion is it promotes this lack of assimilation. They see it as heroic even. And they'll physically punish those who don't.
Yeah, I saw you on Rebel Media. You were talking to, I can't remember his name right now, but he pointed out the passage in the Quran where if you come back as a failed, like, evangelical or whatever they would call it, they'll kill you.
Right. Robert Spencer said that. So, and that was an excellent one. We were coming up with 10 examples of the Quran being violent, promoting violence. And after we were done the 10, Robert goes, check this one out. And it was jihad, right? And jihad is just a loose term that means fighting on behalf of Islam. And they pretend that they don't pick the fights, but if you start it, they're going to finish it. But that's got such a loose definition that you could say, I'm going to take over Dearborn, Michigan because of occupation in Afghanistan, and that's jihad. Anyway, if you're waging jihad, which arguably these refugees, Syrian refugees are, and you pussy out and you go, this is too hard, we will kill you on the way back. We will murder you. But there's so many passages like that. That you can just, as Robert points out, you just sort of wave your finger loosely at the book, and you'll come up with one.
Yeah.
And I was watching Fareed Zakaria last night. My new obsession, by the way, is how many Indian Muslims are chastising us and telling us how evil we are. Aziz Ansari, Fareed Zakaria, who's the other one? It'll come to me in a second. But, oh yeah, Hassan Minhaj from The Daily Show. And these guys are sitting there telling us how horrible we are and how racist we are. And they're like, wait a minute, you come from possibly the worst scenario ever. Indian Muslims murdered millions of Hindus after they got their own country called Pakistan. They still weren't satisfied. So if anyone shouldn't be telling us what to do, it's Indian Muslims. But they do. And anyway, Fareed Zakaria was sitting there saying, the reason they hate us, he's talking about a very select group of extremists too. Meanwhile, it's a lot more than just this tiny little enclave. But the reason they hate us, according to Fareed, is that we are so open and loving and there's so much grooviness and there's no Islamophobia. And when we see our cab driver, we know he's not a terrorist, even though he's Muslim. That's why they hate us. Really almost like doing a PSA, trying to reduce tension. But that's clearly not the case, Suri. The reason that they hate us is because it explicitly says hate them in the Quran.
Yeah, it's... No, go ahead.
Well, part of it, too, is that we're so uninformed. So when we see Aziz Ansari chastise Trump for being racist, we just see a brown guy. We don't go, wait a minute, you're Tamil. Your parents are Tamil. That's where the Tamil Tigers are from. That has been a apocalyptic mess. Women are human garbage there. I mean, their caste system is so intense that if anyone violates, you know, the family's sacred, whatever you want to call it, reputation, she's instantly killed. And you're sitting there telling me, but that's not how, like, when Judd Apatow says, great article, dude. He just sees a brown guy complaining about racism. Blacks were slaves here. They can talk about racism. They have a history. You can't just show up here as a middle-class immigrant from the worst place on earth and go, it sucks here. It's so racist. Fuck you. You're welcome is what we should be saying.
Yeah,
and then in his article, I'm talking, by the way, about this Aziz Ansari article he wrote for the New York Times. Of course, the New York Times.
I saw part of it, yeah.
And I forgot what I was talking about. But the reaction we have, this not being informed thing, goes back to it kind of goes back to Charles Murray with Coming Apart, where he said, we've lost touch with the working class, we've lost touch with other people, so we can be easily bamboozled because we don't really know the backstory. It's kind of what Dana Lash's new book, Flyover Nation, is about. It's just saying, you can't just assume that these people are telling the truth and that their gripe is valid. Look it up. And Aziz Ansari doesn't have the right to show up here and start complaining out of the gate when his family's lucky to be here. Ann Coulter talks about that too. These Mexicans are talking about racism in America and they're here illegally. And she goes, you just got here. You can't just show up and start. Imagine we went to India and started complaining about the way whites were seen there. That would be insane. It's none of your business.
Yeah, to me, it's always like, again, if I go to a country, when in Rome, do as Romans do, essentially. And when I've been to France a number of times. I really liked it. I was treated well because I thought, okay, I have to kind of act French. I won't be a dick. And it was all right.
Yeah, well, you know, the whites are so self-hating that the only way you can convey this to them, what we're talking about right now, is to tell them that it's Japan and say, okay, picture this. You move to Japan. Would you start a group called the White Race, a political group? Would you refuse to learn Japanese? Would you have sanctuary cities that are all white and only speak English? Would you complain that the Japanese don't respect you enough and the Japanese are racist towards you? No, you wouldn't do any of that. You'd take your shoes off. Your girlfriend would have a kimono. Your girlfriend would likely be Japanese. You'd be practicing your Japanese, worried you didn't get it right. You know, let me focus on the spelling of this crazy word. Yeah, and that's the only way I can convey to white people, or I should say Westerners. I don't like saying Westerners in general. That we're not being fascist by saying, you know, assimilate. And it's funny that you have to use Japan as an example before they can start to recognize it. In fact, what I like to do is to write an entire article where I switch the races and I make the invaders rednecks or whatever, and then people get nice and mad, and then I go, okay, you got it? All right, now switch it. The rednecks are Mexicans. Their group is called La Raza. The cities are sanctuary cities. And that horrible situation that you were just so mad at is happening. It's just not white people doing it.
Yeah, it just seems like it's part of the bigger overall leftist movement, if you will, to just, you know, if you're white and successful, it doesn't matter.
Like, you're always going to be the bad guy, no matter who you are, despite the fact that, last I checked, Bernie Sanders is a white guy who's lived here forever. Hillary Clinton done pretty damn well being white in America, but I guess she gets a pass from all this guilt, and Trump has to take it on instead.
Well, look at sitting in the House, this Congress thing that the Dems were doing. They say they hate gun violence, right, and they want to stop it. Gun violence in America is 32,000 deaths gang-related. That's all black dudes. That's all criminals, and they're using guns that are illegal handguns. Now, mass shootings are obviously a tragedy. Of course, we have to make all these caveats because people think we're going to defend mass shootings. But sorry about this tape sound. But they're to the tune of maybe 50 casualties, not even deaths, 50 casualties a year. So you focused on one mind. Like, there's very few things that are 50 a year. There's, you know, texting while driving is like 1,000 a year. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, they're all 30,000 a year, just like gang shootings. 50 a year is rarely comes up. It's like shark bites and air conditioners like flying in your head.
Peanut allergies, probably.
Peanut allergies are probably 50. And so you go, well, why'd you focus on that of all things? And then you ask, oh, because the bad guys are white in this scenario. For the most part, the mass shooters are white. So you get to punish people with assault weapons without even knowing what they are. And it looks cool. Because you're being heroic, and it's not so much I'm being heroic because I'm crapping on whites. I'm being heroic because I'm crapping on someone, but it wouldn't feel as heroic if it was a black or a woman or immigrants or something like that. So crapping is definitely a noble thing in today's day and age, but you have to choose your target, and whites are a great get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, I always remember my last year of college. I was just filling credits. I'd done everything because I was, you know, I was raised, you get out of college in 4 years, not seven, like some people. And I just signed up for a literature class, and I'm like, all right, literature, whatever, I'll read some books, this will be fine. And I showed up the first day, and it turned out that the professor was not a literature teacher, she was a woman studies professor. And so instead of reading Faulkner and Shakespeare, I was reading, like, Shakespeare's wife, who really wrote all this stuff. And so I just kept my mouth shut. I just wanted to get my credit. I'd already fought for 4 years with every professor there. And on the last day they asked me, they go, well, Mike, you've been kind of quiet. Do you have anything to say? And I just looked at them and go, you know, I'm white, I'm Christian, I'm a male. In the end, I'm going to win. Because that's what you guys can tell. The stunned look on their faces. And then after I waited a beat or two, and then I'm like, well, that's what you've been telling me this entire semester. Why do I want to change this system? This is a good one for me.
Right. Well, it's also, ironically, a good one for them. Like, they say they want to shut it down. And even, like, even the Indian Muslims I was talking about at the beginning there, the world is better off without in control of even their lives. Even the gay agenda, even the far left, I mean, it was white people that did the civil rights movement, organized that, and they did a wonderful job. The reason Indian Muslims came here in the first place is because Tamil and all these Mumbai are all terrible places to be. So if we let them take over, then they would have to move to somewhere else.
Yeah, I've been asking people, because I have a couple of friends that are Muslim, and they always have this. They're defensive in the way that I've decided. It's like pro wrestling fans get defensive when you call pro wrestling fake. And they're like, but they really get hurt. And so, like, anytime a crazy Muslim guy does something, their first instinct is, that's not all of us. Don't blame me. And nobody's like, I'm not blaming you. You live four blocks from me. I know that you're not shooting me. But I've been taken to asking them, and I say, would Iran be better off Islam had never been introduced to it? If it had just any other culture, any other religion, it doesn't matter what it is, would it be better off? And they kind of stammer and they don't want to admit it. And it's like, that's your example. That's your, you name me a single country on earth that is predominantly Muslim that is not really bad. Not just like, oh, their economy kind of sucks. I'm not talking, you know, Spain, where, okay, yeah, the leftists kind of ruined the economy. Like, you can't walk outside without worrying if someone's going to murder you for no reason at all.
Yeah, but do that same game with whites. do that same, like, tell me a Hispanic country that isn't fucked. Tell me a black country that isn't fucked. And even within America, tell me a Democrat-run city that isn't fucked. I guess it's just, am I allowed to swear on this thing?
You can, yeah, you can swear. I don't give a shit.
The irony is this villain they've chosen seems to be the best for everyone. A right-wing, a Republican-run city does better than any other city in the world. New York, run by Giuliani, was the best place in the world. And then they go, well, there's places like Switzerland that are socialist and they're better. And yeah, they actually made most of their money when they were free market. And they're also 100% white. So when you can afford to have insane taxes when you have a monoculture like that. Same with Japan, I guess.
Yeah, and like Norway and Sweden, where they think, oh, look at how well it works there for the 5 million people, not a country of 300 million. It's easy to...
Right. You can 300 million with an obesity problem that is killing people to the tune of 500,000 a year, with 50 million illegals, with a massive black population that has developed quite a bit of animosity towards the host for a long-ass time. So you can't not factor all those things in.
Just saying, Chicago wants to tax everything Airbnb related, just because they're not getting the money from it.
Yeah, well, you see the same thing with vaping in the States. They say we don't want you smoking in bars. It's killing bartenders. And as Christopher Hitchens points out, well, where are all these mothers of dead bartenders? And then they go, well, it encourages children and all this stuff. We need to tax it like crazy. And then they come up with a way to do it that doesn't smell bad or cause anyone any trouble, and they still want to ban it. And you go, oh, okay. Yeah. So none of your arguments were even remotely true. You were just trying to fucking get more money out of us.
Oh, yeah. It's all money at the end of the day. And my dad once told me, he said, just never forget the government is an animal. And like all animals, it wants to get as big as it can, and that's all it wants to do. It exists to grow. It doesn't exist to do anything else. And it's true of it's true of all branches of government. I mean, and there's waste in all of them. And I don't know. You could probably just say everybody, military, all of you guys, you guys get half of what you usually get, and they should be able to figure out a way to do it because regular people do. Recession hits. We all have to make do with less, but somehow the government just...
Well, here's the scary thing with government is once they grow, they never shrink again. And it's problematic for us because we're in a situation now with Islam where we want to restrict freedoms. We want people monitored. We want to restrict immigration. And then it's a real crappy situation to be in because once this is handled, we're going to want to go back to normal. But the government doesn't do that. Once they have permission to, look at our emails and do this, and I talked to libertarians, you're making a mistake to check Muslims so much because it's never going to end. And that's a valid point. Once we empower the government to invade our privacy like that, it's going to be very hard to dial back. But that's what sucks about war.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's difficult, especially on the right, because it's almost like we're not used to winning and getting what we want. And so when we are in power, it still just ends up, well, you're in power. What are you going to do? You're going to spend money because it's fun. People like spending money. It feels good to go out and build a school. Like you don't
right.
You don't get a photo op when some guy opens up a new flower shop.
Right.
But I was going to actually ask because I actually don't know, and I figure you being an expert on all things, everything, what the hell, what is an assault weapon? Because I don't know what it is.
An assault weapon is what the left thinks it is this Vietnam machine gun where you put your finger down, push your finger down, and then it just goes and just pour out, sort of like, I don't know if you have this county, at the county fair in Chicago, but here in New York, you go and you try to shoot out a star shape at the county fair, and that BB gun just sort of goes, and you just keep pushing it, and it just keeps going. they think that we have those kind of guns. Now, technically, they do exist. They're like $20,000 because they were banned long ago, but they're about $20,000, and there's a handful of them. They're for really intense collectors, and they've never been involved in any major shooting. So what remains, like what the Orlando guy used, was something that looks like that. That's why they call it military style, because it looks like that. But it's still just the same as my rifle, which was a 30-06 Huntsman. It's an old dad rifle that isn't very interesting to look at. It's just got a wood stock. It's an old boring gun, and I have a cartridge in it that holds five big shells. And once I put it in, it's one trigger, one pull, so it would go pow, 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 pow. Five shots. That's it. That's what he used. That's what everyone uses. So there's this myth that I just go in there and I start blasting with this spray. That gun isn't around. Those guns are long gone. The gun you saw looks like that, but it's just a boring rifle, just like a handgun. It's inseparable. And we tried banning these things I'm talking about, these things that look like M16. Didn't work. Okay? So that's the end of that. Nope, nope. And they get away with this narrative that there's these crazy M16s floating around, and it's just patently false.
Yeah, I saw somebody I knew growing up, and they were talking about they were scared because their neighbor had a 22 caliber rifle. And she's like, this is really scary that they have this gun. I go, that's what Boy Scouts use. Like, I started reading about it. It is advertised that it is not to be used for self-defense because it can't kill somebody. Like, it's basically...
Yeah, I've had a back and forth on that, actually, with a few gun owners. And they claim, I don't believe that a 22 won't kill you. I mean, isn't that what's in a handgun? Isn't that what's in a Glock?
It's at least a controversy.
Is it possible to kill someone with a 22? And that's, by the way, what a lot of these so-called assault weapons carry. They carry little 22 shells.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, okay, I'm sure they can kill you, because I imagine most things fired hard enough can kill. But again, we're not talking
right.
A shotgun where it's going to rip through you or anything like that.
Exactly. Well, here I'm up in upstate New York right now. They don't like you shooting bears with 22s if you feel threatened, because they're worried it will make the bear mad, and he'll just kill you more. So they go, don't use those. It antagonizes the bear.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to shoot a bear, you got to make sure you use something that will for sure take it down.
Yeah, you got to play hardball.
Yeah. Although maybe you could take the bear to a safe zone and talk to it and see why he feels the need to eat people. Like, what's this history of oppression that poor bear has?
Well, this is why I get so pissed off about all this virtue signaling, is it is so easy to look up. So you see these people on the House floor, and women are especially guilty of this, by the way. They put up their little tweets and little Instagrams saying, this is the greatest moment ever. We need to stand up and fight. You think, so you'll spend the time doing that, but you won't spend the time to look up what their point is or what they're doing the sit-in for or what the suggestion is, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah.
And you realize, oh, you don't care. You're a liar. You're a complete phony.
Yeah, I see these sit-ins and all this, and it's always people, and I swear they exist because they have this romanticized view of 1960s protesters, and they're so desperate to recreate that they have to pretend.
Exactly.
They have to pretend like, oh, wow, you're real brave. You're sitting in the Capitol. Oh, yeah, that's the same as for some poor woman getting, you know, hosed down and having dogs attack her because she just wanted to go to school. You guys are real fucking warriors there.
Yeah, I've often said that too. Like, I almost think that the Freedom Riders did us a disservice because they were so incredibly cool that they set the bar too high. And now everyone is determined. Because you look at that picture of that white dude who had the crap beaten out of him, and he's smoking a cigarette and he's got blood all over his suit.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest looking pictures in the history of America. And so other people go, well, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. And you can't. That ship has sailed. I'm sorry, you can't be a Freedom Rider, you greedy little bitch.
Yeah.
And so they...
Well, hell, just, you actually kind of were part of that generation, because with the, not that generation, but like the last kind of cool people to protest, which was the punks, which I didn't know this for years. Like, I just was like, oh, punk music is Green Day. And then somebody's like, no, it's not. I'm like, what do you mean? They said, like, listen to Sex Pistols or the Ramones or whatever. And then also I'm like, wait a second. The Sex Pistols, this crazy group that people think are these lefties, they wrote an anti-abortion song, which is always blows my mind. Like, the coolest song ever written about abortion is from the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard two versions of his opinion on that, him denying that it was that. But there's plenty of punk songs like that, like the anarchist punk band Conflict have a song called The Cord is Cut, and even modern punks like Flatfoot 56 have a song. What's it called? Be a Man, Don't Be a Quitter, Just Because of the Child's Within. I forget the name of that song, but it's a pretty common sentiment. And, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, punks were a formidable political force. I mean, they almost shut down the British government. It was a major thing. They were Thatcher's worst enemy. And now we're worried about gender nonconforming bathrooms, which is amazing because you think, wait a minute, punks were nonconformists. There was no government program to make us feel more comfortable. But now we have to worry about trans feelings when they take a shit. I don't care about their feelings when they take a shit at all. What? Oh, you're turning into Tiny Man again.
It seems like every 20 minutes with this stupid mixer, it kind of fades on me. Fuck it. So anyways,
there we go.
Fucking microphone. But yeah, I saw the whole tranny bathroom thing seemed to me to be coming down to how passable you are. If you're an attractive looking transsexual, nobody really notices you. It's really just the big bearded dude that says, "I know I identify as a woman today," and I don't even know what that. Like, I genuinely don't know what the fuck that means. Because if I said I identify as being black today, people would look at me and think that's stupid. That you're born the way.
Well, you got to do it right, though. Sean King did it right. He successfully purported to be a race that we know he isn't, but he stuck to his guns, and I'm actually kind of impressed by him. He stuck to his guns and said, "I'm black," and then won. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be more racist than that, just to say.
Yeah, you.
Okay, get a lighter. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I assume you're going to burn the rest of your stuff now.
I already had. I've been having a bonfire go all day.
Oh, that's nice. It's too hot here to go outside because of global warming is ruining it. That's why it's hot in June.
Right. No, it's 90 degrees here, but, you know, I got a burn barrel over by the garage. It's not like I'm sitting next to it.
But yeah,
what were we talking about?
Basically, how insulting it is in some respects, I think, for these people.
Oh yeah, Sean King. Yeah, I mean, this guy just said, "Hi, I'm black." He cut his hair short, married a black woman, and you know, Rachel Dolezal tried to do the same thing. She was completely ridiculed forever, lost her whole life, but somehow Sean does the same thing, and everyone goes, "All right, fine, you're black." I mean, it's brilliant, brilliant. How did he do that? He has a column. He has a column with the Daily Mail. Wait, what? Tiny Mike again. Tiny Mike.
That should be better.
Yep, that's better.
Fucking hell. I was going to say, I would think if you were actually black that you'd be insulted by all of this. Like, you didn't go through years of oppression when you walk into the Gap. They didn't think that you were going to rob them. They just thought you were going to buy a pair of khakis. Like, that's
exactly, which is why Sean deserves accolades. I mean, I see him as like a bankrupt. He just pulled off an incredible heist. And still going. I mean, he still sits there and gripes about it and says, like, "This is so racist. White men, once again, blah, blah." And you just sit there and going, wow.
Well,
he was the most audacious con man in America.
And of course, you being the ultimate racist, you're so racist that you have, you know, you're truly appropriating a culture. You know, what with having a minority wife and minority children, you're just
Yeah, I've heard them work around. They say things like it's complicated. So what they actually do now is they say the fact that I have an Indian complex and deep-seated racism has become. And you just go like, wow, you guys are really moving the goalposts here. I'm going to win with you.
Yeah, it's...
So you're racist. Really? I make non-whites from scratch. And they go, yeah, it's complicated. Alrighty.
Yeah, you should just tell them that you're trying to breed it out.
Yeah, I have done that joke, actually. Quite a bit. I go, you know, sorry about that. I go, you know, a lot of you whites sit there and talk about other races, but you don't do anything. But I actually go into cleaning a race. Like, my kids are blonde. If they marry white, you won't even be able to tell. It's the new genocide. So there's no limit to the... I mean, I just got death threats today for being a fag. So I get death threats when I say that trannies are just mentally ill gays. I get death threats from them saying I'm a homophobe. And then I go and kiss Nero in Orlando, and now I'm a fag who needs to be publicly executed.
Well, that's probably the Muslims want to do that too.
No, it was a Christian guy, actually.
Ah, is he from Kansas?
No, what's his name? Theodore. I can't remember his name. I can find him, but it's a super. It's almost like a fundamentalist Muslim view of Christianity, where they want to put all the gays to death. Wife and kids shows how incredibly blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, there's an argument for this sort of gay PC culture oppressing people and making them bake cakes for their wedding and all. But the one thing I don't get about far right or Muslims is because the gays are evil. So I'm going to go up to a gay couple that have been together for 10 years. We're going to break them up. They're separated now. And they're going to start dating women, like kissing women on the lips and stuff and waiting for them. Hi, honey, I'm home.
Yeah. I always thought it was kind of like really amazing in respect to how many gay people were closeted throughout, you know, the 50s and all this, because then, you know, they'd be married and have children and do all these things for 20 years. And I always think, I'm like, there's no way I could suck somebody's dick every day for 2 decades just to avoid right. social pressure.
Exactly. I mean, say you did it once. Even if you did it for $10 million, you're in your giant mansion. And people go, man, this place is beautiful, dude. Indoor pool and everything. How did you get this? And you have to go, oh, God. All right, here's the story. And then they go, ew, gross. So, I don't know. Even doing it once could be a huge bummer. And the idea that these guys can do essentially that, but in reverse, is just, I really honestly don't get it.
It's yeah. Like, it's probably the reason why, if being gay is genetic, that gay actually still exists, because otherwise it seems like it should just eliminate itself from the gene pool eventually.
Right. That's what I've always said. It's like being an albino. It's a weird genetic glitch, which makes them mad. And I go, that's a point for your side, guys. It's called Born That Way, Lady Gaga. Yeah. You want people to believe that.
Yeah. You do any statistical analysis, and what's the margin of error for every poll in the world is 3-5%, and that's about how many gay people there are.
Right. Yeah. But, well, that's also, you get into that, this is slightly off topic, but if you look up white on black rapes versus black on white rapes, and with black on white rapes, I think the data usually includes sexual assault, sexual harassment, and it's to the tune of I think it's like 30,000 a year. Again, we get to this number of 30 and 40,000 just keep coming up with almost everything I look up. But anyway, and then with white on black rape, it's so incredibly rare that it ends up being statistically zero because it's less than the margin of error. So when you bring this up to these feminists who want to talk about rape culture, you're like, I got plenty of rape culture for you. I got that. When you include prison, I got men getting raped more than women. I have the Middle East where you get stoned to death if you were raped. I've got young boys getting raped in the Middle East. I've got Mexico with the age of consent being 12 and 80% of these women getting raped as they cross the border. They go, nah, I don't like any of those.
It's the Duke lacrosse guys that actually didn't do anything.
Yeah, I'm down here, Johnny. Okay, I'm ready.
My son's at his cute zenith right now at 3.
Huh. That's a lovely story. But I don't want to keep you too much long. You've already given me more than enough time. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but that when you type your name into Google, one of the first things that autofills is your net worth. You're famous.
How weird, huh?
Like, you're famous enough, I guess, that people want to know how much you're worth.
I'm sleepwalking.
You're sleepwalking?
Whoa.
So what happened? You fell asleep and then you started sleepwalking around the house? But most people that are sleepwalking don't talk. Are you asleep now? You're asleep right now.
Holy cow. This is a scientific first.
Wow. That's amazing.
See, this way I hope people listen to this show. We break news. This is a science. This is a first. We prove Bigfoot, basically.
What's that thing? Why are you talking right now? You're asking me questions in your sleep? Wake up, Johnny. Wake up. Oh, now you are awake? That's a Clash box set. It's made to look like a ghetto blaster. And it's got a book and some Clash CDs, a lot of yelling. But don't touch it because it's worth a lot of money.
And so
what were we just talking about?
Oh, I was talking about how much
money
you're
worth. Oh, yeah, the net worth thing. Yeah, that's a weird thing. Liberals, I think, know that they're screwed, which is why they're so bitter, because they know that these social study classes have fucked them for life and they're never going to pay back that student debt because unlike STEM, there's no income in your field. So they become obsessed with other people's money. There's a really interesting cover story that was in Rolling Stone about Donald Trump, and I can't recommend it enough. It is so accidentally fawning that it just says tomes about the left mentality. They talk about his TV in his $100 million plane, right, and how it's always set to Fox News. Which I don't know how that's a bad thing, but the way they describe it is in this intimate detail of he's got a Sony MRX with the curve feature and blah blah blah, like really getting into the well, forget Muslims, no, I'm trying to figure them out, but all right, Christians is you realize this guy wishes he was Trump. That's what this is about. And you see the same when they talk about the women on Fox and how hot they are. They all secretly lust them. And I think that's and they do that with Trump too. They go, his daddy gave him a $6 million and he's only made $8.7 billion and he would have made more money in the stock market. And I think, why don't you run a lemonade stand for a year and get back to me, before you tell me how unbelievably easy it is to make money in this country?
Oh, I think that's one of those things that they've never, you know, Barack Obama never had a job in his entire life. He had like the most perfect political career. Just, I went to this school and I did well, and then I got my fake professorship, and I was community, blah blah blah. And it just, if you just drew up like how to never have a job and become president, that's what it is. And Donald Trump, for all of his eccentricities, the dude goes out there and he says shit, and you know, oh yeah, she must be bleeding, and things like this. And he runs a business, and I call Rosie O'Donnell fat pig. Yeah, she is one. This sounds like everybody I ever knew growing up, just regular people.
That's why he's winning. And this goes back to what we've been talking about this whole episode is Charles Murray's book, Coming Apart. We got out of touch with everyone else. We got out of touch with entrepreneurs. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day who's working with these Irish investors, and they're sort of amalgamating all the outcasts in cellular technology, like El Salvador's cellular, you know, towers and all this stuff. And it's a 4 or 5 year plan that could bomb. But if it doesn't, they'll make they'll make a pretty penny. And I just thought, oh God, I wish some of these business haters could overhear this conversation and realize that for every success, which is always a bitch, by the way, to get there, there's no, here's a million, here's 4 billion. I mean, you hear about LinkedIn getting sold for $20 billion. Those stories are total anomalies. The rest of it's just plugged away. And I just thought, if any of these people could just hear how hard it is, these long-term plans that last 4 years, and for every success, there's at least 12 failures. Failures everywhere. And if only they could know that, then they would be less, God, there'd be so much less what's the word I'm looking for? Fracturing so much. We're such a split country, and I think a lot of it is because these dummies haven't done their homework. I mean, look at the AR-15 protest. You clearly, these people are sitting on the House floor for a bill that we've already tried. We already had an assault weapons ban. Didn't work. You know, or you think that, or you have Aziz Ansari telling us we're all racist. Dude, you're a Muslim from India. That's as bad as it gets when it comes to racism and sexism and all these things you're blaming Trump for. And more people would, if more people had just interacted, you know, I'm not talking about look it up. Charles Murray talks about having a job. Illegal aliens do all our jobs. We don't work in gas stations anymore. When you work at a gas station, you don't just learn how to pump gas. You learn what normal people are like. You learn that they're not stupid. You know, you meet some Southerners and you go, wait a minute, I thought you were all toothless rednecks. That accent can say intelligent things. We've been brainwashed into thinking that there's bad guys and good guys, but for the most part, there's just informed people and uninformed people. Right now, the uninformed seem to be controlling the narrative and running the show. And I think Trump fans are saying, actually, we're going to deal with someone who's poured cement before. It's ironic that a billionaire is one of his greatest assets is that he's seen as a blue-collar guy. But it's true. You know, he poured cement with these guys. So he always had crappy jobs. And people get along with him. They don't get along with these social justice types because those guys haven't done anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's no fun talking to somebody where you just know that every other word you say, you're going to get called racist or homophobe, because I'm clearly afraid of gay people. Like, I sit around all night with my gun in case I see that you know, rainbow-colored dildo coming through my window. I'm going to get it. Oh, yeah, I'm afraid.
Well, I was talking about this with Kumi the other day, and we're saying, you know, their view is that you hate all Muslims, or you think all trannies must die or something. We're going, not only do I not think that, nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks 100% of a group is a thing. And today's left, they think if they find you some old of his totally awesome super playing TV, the pattern that the Irish tend to have a problem with whiskey. And you go, who do you think I am? Like, I'm honestly at the point where I'm insulted by their straw man because he's so ridiculous. There was just a bikini body infomercial, and one of the women had one leg.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, are you saying that I sneer at handicapped people? Fuck you.
Yeah, I saw that you're doing that video, and I'm like looking at it, I'm like, all right, some of these girls, they're fat, they're not attractive. But then I see some of them, I'm going, nobody ever would have said you're unattractive. Everybody looks at you and thinks, oh yeah, that's the attractive girl. Like, what? I don't know what planet they live on.
And the other one, there's two or three in there who are super big. And you're looking at the other ones going, the reason that you're considered unattractive is because over the past 250,000 years, we've developed these patterns. And one of them is we don't glorify unhealthiness. We don't think junkies look cool either. We don't think that people who pick fights in bars every 10 minutes are cool either. They tend to go extinct. So you're dying, and you're sitting there telling me I have these random ways of rating people. No, you're too fat.
Well, it's kind of like, it's even like, it's some things, it boggles my mind, like the bathroom thing. People, well, what are we going to do? It's like, there's a boys' room and a girls' room. I had never in my life considered, oh yeah, I should go into the girls' bathroom. Like, no. Like, my whole life, apparently, men are all rapists in waiting, but it's okay for us to go into bathrooms with little children. I'm not sure how that quite
right.
works.
Oh, yeah, good point. I guess if gay men aren't rapists. Although I'm sure statistically you'll find that trans people tend to get involved in perverted behavior, or gays, too, more than straights. God, I know the gay people I've spoken to have told me some pretty shocking things about the twinks. You know, twinks.
Oh, yeah.
These young boys that date them in exchange for presents and stuff. It's everything. All their pariahs, all their enemies that the left comes up with, I can find them way more easily in their sacred little protected groups. I mean, I've met plenty of racists. I don't think I've really met a white racist. I've met every other race of racist, but I've never met a white who's like who would meet someone who was black I had everything in common with them, and we're still like, I don't want him around. Really? But he wants to join our group, and he likes everything we like? Too bad. He's a nigger.
Yeah.
I'm sure they exist, but as my buddy Tony points out, he goes, I'm sure these guys exist, but those guys, they also hate, like, Yankees, Northwestern people, Floridians. Like, they're very specific.
It's a clan. The KKK hates everybody. Like, there's, my extended family's all from South Dakota, and I guess my grandfather, being Catholic, they had a cross burned on their yard by the Klan in South Dakota.
Right.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, that was the saying in Britain, right? No blacks, no Irish, no dogs.
Why would you keep out dogs?
I really feel like Trump is the harbinger, though. Like, this is our year. I keep saying this to people I talk to that are on our side. I'm like, 2016, I played them that zombie song, This Will Be Our Year. This is the year that this is all over. I mean, these guys, we've given them the talk to him and he's never had a drink. Then you've disproved the irrational babbling. And now we're saying, all right, party's over. We'll be handling this from now.
It's a market correction, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And the
market correction.
And I think what scares so many of the liberals and leftists about him, and I think it really just reveals their character, because they think that we all look at the entire groups of people and just judge everybody as one. But in reality, they're the ones that are so determined to put people into boxes and say, you're gay, you must vote for Democrats. You're black, you must vote for the Democrat. If you don't, then you're not a real black. And so...
Yeah, Trump hates you. What do your parents think? You betraying your race?
Yeah, it's like... And the reason I think they're so scared of Trump is that they think... They don't understand how the presidency works to start. They think that we elect a dictator. But when in reality, he can't do anything. He has the Congress still has to pass the laws. All he can do is veto it. He can't make any law. I mean, but in their world, he could, because President Obama went through and just did executive orders left and right and just didn't give a shit. He just made up the law as he wanted it to be.
Yeah. Well, you don't... Just to totally ostracize myself from your listeners, I can't help but think these days that God is involved. Now, you say that it's self-correcting, so this is like a free market correction, and I'm starting to think that the closer you are to God, the smoother things go. I mean, what is socialism and communism? It's saying, I'm God, and I'll be handling this from here on in, and then you fail. But if you've ever seen this movie, it's online, it's called I Am Pencil. Do you know about this?
Don't know that one, no.
You got to check it out. They just talk about how miraculous it is that the invisible hand of capitalism can make a pencil. And they go, you know, the graphite's from here, and the copper's from Chile, and the eraser's from Guyana or whatever. And somehow it all comes together magically because of Adam Smith's invisible hand. And I think that invisible hand is God's hand. And you say, the system is correcting itself now with Trump. That's the truth correcting itself. And I can't help but think it's all part of God's microchip.
Yeah.
It's like,
no, I get what you mean.
3.5 billion years ago, he sort of set up a magical apparatus that can swing far away, but it corrects itself. Like you go, why does a little kid get hit by a car? Well, that's obviously horrific. But that family, you know, then demands that there's a stop sign on that spot, and they become committed to safety. And that is all part of this initial microchip.
Yeah, it's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it basically harkens back to the concept of natural law, and natural law has to come basically from a deity. And it's like God put...
Right.
He puts everything in place... And the closer you get to the way that he designed it, the better it works. God did not create the world, and then part of the 11th commandment was, and thou shalt give 75% of all your money to the government and allow them to have regulations on you. It's like, he didn't set up the world to work as a communist and a leftist would want. He set it up to be free. Like
What did he say, though, about Caesar, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto the Lord what is his?
Yeah, well, that was
That was Jesus playing lawyer, being real smart, not to.
Well, it was also them saying, if it's his, give it to him. If that's your deal, if that's what you guys have set up, then that's part of your arrangement. I'm not going to sit here and say don't pay taxes, or don't pay, you know, for services. That's how I see it anyway. But yeah, it's natural, and it goes back to what we're saying about the evil, right? Mm-hmm. This straw man they've made it out to be, who loves rape and hates dick for 7 years, and they've just screamed at the population. I mean, look at now I'm wrapping up a hose, which is why I'm panting. You look at crime rates and health life expectancy. It's all been going up, 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 and this is because over time, you know, a lot of bad men have been killed. A lot of patterns have been ironed out.
Yeah, no, for
look
sure.
at insulin and washing, even washing hands in medicine. Like, we noticed a lot of people were dying in childbirth. And we realized the midwives were doing a better job. Well, what are they doing? They're washing their hands. All right, let's start doing that.
No, it's absolutely true. And we're coming up on an hour now. You've got children and moving and all that. It sounds like a good place to end things on a positive note. You know, the love of Jesus. Because that's the thing. Nobody wants to point out that there is not a single part of the New Testament, the Gospels at least, where Jesus says anything violent. Not one thing. You cannot misinterpret a single line in any way to say, you know, well, Jesus, when he's giving out the fish, he really meant you to slap somebody in the face with it. But you read, like, but you read the Quran, even the, you know, the Old Testament, there's obviously clearly lots of stuff in there that if you can misinterpret it violently, that's not the best way to write things. Because I notice that, again, Jesus can't be misinterpreted. All he ever did was say, be nice to people. That's it. Just be nice.
It's so true. And, you know, Dana Lash points that out, too. She goes, we're the only religion with a 2.0. And I know there was bad things hundreds of years ago, but we updated our shit. And these other religions just seem stuck in the past. And that's why I'm against immigration, because not only do I have a natural aversion to being replaced, but I don't want to be replaced with something worse. We fought long and hard to separate church and state. We fought long and hard to give people equality and liberty and freedom. I'm not about to be replaced with someone who's us 500 years ago.
Yeah, that's, you know, you look at all these groups, every one of them are anti-classical liberalism. There's a reason why I think I read it on Breitbart, I think it was Milo, actually, that first brought it to my attention. And it was the idea that, you know, the majority of Muslims in London, or in England, want to make being gay illegal, not immoral, which is fine. If you want to think it's immoral, because I'll always say they go, oh, well, you know, we think it's, we have it, but it's just like all the rest of you. It's like, yeah, but I might think it's immoral, but I'm not trying to arrest you for having sex with a man. And they want
right, we leave that up to the big guy. It's the same as alcoholism. Many of us are born alcoholics. It is a sin, but we don't want to tie you up and, you know, burn you alive for it. We just leave that to the big man and say, he's been doing a lot of sinning, buddy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just the idea of live and let live. It just seems like they can't help it. They have to meddle. And I just don't get it. It's not in my DNA. I maybe I'm just lucky. I was raised by an Irish Catholic dad who had National Review on the back of the shitter. And so I turned out halfway.
Well, the thing is, we tried it that way. It didn't work.
Yeah. It really didn't. It was point, like, that's why I hate any law that people try to pass that you can't logically enforce. Like, you can't enforce no gay sex unless you have a camera in somebody's bedroom. And I don't even know what,
right.
Does that count a finger in the ass? Am I not allowed to have that fun anymore? Like, I'm not really
yeah,
sure.
And what if we want to do some of their moves? Is that allowed?
Yeah, I mean, God, gay people, God, they come up with all kinds of good stuff. And
they do a lot of field research.
Yeah, and that's especially gay men, like, they got the best of it all. I just go out there and, God, if I walk into a bar and try to pick up a girl, I got to work for hours. I have to roofie her drink because I'm a rapist. I have to do all kinds of things. If I was gay, I could just walk in there and be like, hey, anybody here want to have sex? And like 12 people would just raise their hands and be like, all right. Like, okay, what can we try now? Let's do a triple pyramid.
I don't think I'd have a job. I think I would just be wearing sweatpants walking up and down the street.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Anyways, all right, well, let's wrap it up. It was fun talking to you. I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I can officially say, I was telling everybody, I'm like, I got a big guest. And they're like, yeah, right. I'm like, oh, no. You guys are going to get pissed, too, because the website's generally about fighting. I let my writers, whatever they want to write, they can write anything at times. So some will write atheist stuff, a little lefty stuff here and there. But I tend to, you know, just, I don't, because to me, I grew up seeing Hollywood and getting annoyed when I'd be like, all I wanted to do was watch your fucking movie. I didn't want to have to hear that you love, you know, Stalin in the process. So I'm a little, I keep a little of the politics out, but I'm, at this point, you know, I'm so fucking tired of it. It's my fucking website. I worked my ass off to grow this thing. So fuck you people. So, and on that note, Gavin, thank you so much for doing this. And, I'll put plugs in for, cause obviously you need the rub from me. And, thank you again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, yeah, my new thing I want to plug, sorry, we didn't even cover it, is the Proud Boys.
Yeah, I wrote that down, yeah.
Men's organization, it's all men, and it's going back to the old days of, you know, the Masons and the Knights of Columbus and the Oddfellows and the Know-Nothings and all these men's groups that are proud to be Western chauvinists, proud to have invented the modern world, no apologies. And we're about self-improvement, no beating off, trying to stay healthy, trying to avoid sins. We have different degrees. Lots of guys getting Proud Boys tattoo. We'd love you to join. We're setting up different chapters all over the world. It's fun.
That's fantastic.
And the only deal breakers so far are no flip-flops.
Oh, I don't know. I wear flip-flops a lot just because I'm lazy.
Well, we have a problem.
I'll get some old man moccasins or whatever they would wear.
Get some low-cut chucks.
There you go, yeah.
And you're in.
All right, well, yeah, that sounds fantastic. Where do people find out more about Proud Boys?
Check the hashtag, just the hashtag Proud Boys.
All right.
With an S, obviously. And there's also Facebook. It's all over there. Proudboys.club is one. There's a Reddit there. Once you start searching, there'll be a lot that comes up.
This really does sound like a homosexual front, you know, like Proud
Yeah,
Boys.
That's what we like about it. Good. That's part of it, too. It's like the scariest gangs in New York in the 50s were the Crybabies and the Mama's Boys. In fact, Proud Boys comes from the song Proud of Your Boy from Aladdin, because we thought it was the gayest song we've ever heard in a while. You want to bring the whole inflatable killer whale back to Brooklyn? Oh, in the house? Sure, I don't care. Yeah, so check us out and become one.
Fantastic, everybody. I'll be adding to my tattoo collection with the Proud Boys tattoo. That'll piss off my parents more. So, yeah, thanks.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say thanks again, but I'll let you keep talking because it makes the show better.
It's just a nice, small, little tattoo font. I don't even have mine yet. I'm going to get it on the back of my elbows. But, yeah, that makes you third degree. Second degree is we get to beat the shit out of you until you can name five breakfast cereals.
Huh. What's the first degree?
Saying you're a proud boy.
Oh, okay.
And having...
Oh, I want to get jumped in like a gang. That sounds fun.
Yeah, well, here's a trick. Just start practicing now with the cereal, and you can usually get the pounding down to about 5 to 10 seconds.
I don't know. I'm kind of into it. But, again, yeah, thanks for doing the show, and we'll talk to you again very soon, I hope, and good luck with your move and everything.
Right on, buddy.
All right. Take care now.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, times come to send you on your way. We've seen it all. Bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about.
We hope you